Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show continues. I'm Bill Michaels, Radio Joe across the way, producing the program. And if you want to get a hold of us on Twitter, it's @Bill_Michaels, @Bill_Michaels, or @RadioJoeSports. You can find us on the radio.com app. Go to BillMichaelsSports.com. Plenty of ways to stay in touch. This portion of the program being brought to you by our good friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. And don't forget, Wednesday Night Live is back again this year, and it's coming less than 2 weeks away. Wednesday night, May 30th, Rebel Grace takes the stage, the Budweiser Pavilion stage out at the Wisconsin State Fair Park, and they get it cranking for real. And our charity is going to be out that night, out there that night as well, St. Ben's Community Meal, doing the 50-50 raffle. So please come out, support them, support us. And by the way, did I mention it's free of charge to get in? $6 to park a car, but free of charge to get in. So come on out and enjoy yourself. Wednesday Night Live is back at the Wisconsin State Fair Park starting Wednesday night, May 30th. And it's all brought to you by our good friends at Bud Light. Again, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Bring him in now from Fox Sports Wisconsin, talking Brewers and Bucks. Craig Kishon is now joining us. Craig, how you been?
I'm doing well, my friend.
So, for all that you've heard, the Budenholzer hire is, all but inked and dried. Not to say that you have to confirm anything at this point, but I would like to know, in your dealings in the NBA, what do you think of Budenholzer?
Well, I think he's a pretty well-respected, coach who's been around in the league a long, long time. I don't know if anybody has received the endorsements here in the last, two or three weeks than Becky Hammond has. So as far as any other coach getting an endorsement like that, I don't think we're going to ever see one like that. But, he seems to be, a successful coach when it comes to, when he's got his players and he's got his system in and he's got, full control of the team. He had pretty good success in Atlanta a few years ago. So obviously he's going to be hoping to do that again here with a superstar in Giannis. So, he's a quiet guy. I will say that the times that I have, dealt with him, he's very low key. Now he might, carry a big stick during practice and in game planning and stuff as well. That's kind of my guess if this guy's on his second job in the NBA and, he's liked the way he is. So, I think it's going to be, a completely different demeanor than what this current Bucks team is used to at this time. And it's going to be interesting to see what he's able to do here. And he's got a lot of responsibility, in my opinion, to take this team to the next level because he's only here to do that.
Well, that was going to be my next statement and leading into a question, but he chose this for all intents and purposes over, say, a team like Toronto, who's been there, done that, but hasn't been able to get to a championship level. Meanwhile, you've got the ceiling, which is considered to be so high here in Milwaukee, but if you take them into the second round of the playoffs, it's considered a successful season at this point. So how much more upside? I mean, we do have expectations, but how high do you think that this team can go? And then the next question follow-up would be, what else do they need to do to be successful? Because we know it's about the guys on the floor as much as it is about the coach.
Yeah, well, that's true, and we've seen this now with the Packers for many years, and I honestly think we're starting to see this with the Brewers as well. It starts from the top, and as long as the top has given the coach and the ability to bring in the best players possible, that's only going to make a coach as good as he can be. So you start with Giannis. Obviously, he's got a superstar to work with, and then I would imagine that you're going to see some tinkering with this team. If they're hiring him, I'm sure he's got an idea of what he would like or who he would like to see here to fit better into his system. So that, that's going to be part of it. In my opinion, Bill, the ceiling is as high as possible. If you've got a guy like Giannis who is as good as he is and was even better last year than he was the year before, You know, if you're starting with him and a guy who has not even tasted playoff success yet, you gotta surround guys that have a hunger like that, and then you gotta surround him with guys who have some kind of an experience like that as well. So, you know, I don't know what's going to happen in the upcoming year as far as where they're going to take this to the next level, but I would imagine within 2 years they have pretty lofty goals of where they want to be. That's for sure.
How much? I mean, we know that Giannis is that budding superstar, and superstar in name in so many different ways. There's a lot of talk about whether or not they will or will not keep Jabari. Who else, or maybe what else, do you need to put on this team that you would say is going to take them to that next level? Is it just as simple as saying you need an outside shooter and you need a glass and rim protector?
Well, you need somebody inside because, you know, I've kind of said this, and hopefully not in a demeaning way, but whatever the Bucks have, you know, height-wise is getting crushed vertically, you know, with a lot of opposing big men. And that can't continue. It happened for 82-plus games into the playoffs, and it was, you know, it was something that was clearly they have to make up for ground there. Now, do you weigh that equally with trying to get a three-point shooter? They need prolific scorers from the outside. They need guys who can score on a consistent basis from outside the arc. I mean, that's the bottom line. I think a lot of people view Chris Middleton as successful as he can be outside the arc. He's a very, very good mid-range shooter. He might be one of the best in the NBA at mid-range shots. So if you get, you know, another three-point shooter or two, and get something to start protecting that paint and that rim over the next year or two here, add Giannis into the mix and put him. I'm sure that Budenholzer's got an idea of maybe where Giannis might be strongest. I can't tell you what that is right now because he's pretty strong at all five positions. But he needs to settle into a position largely based, or position or two, I think, largely based on who the surrounding cast is going to be.
Talking with Craig Kishon of Fox Sports Wisconsin, covers both the Bucks and the Brewers. We'll talk Brewers coming up here in a moment or two, but sticking with the Bucks. So this season, Craig, people were hoping for 50 wins, getting out of the first round of the playoffs. In the meantime, they fire their head coach. Things don't seem to be as functional as maybe it should be. At times they would play fantastic, and then there are other times it would just all continually fall apart. What was so consistent about being inconsistent with this team that you saw up close and personal?
Well, you know, I think right out of the gates, you know, when you said, you know, they had expectations of winning 50 games and being, you know, in the top three in the Eastern Conference. I mean, that's they talked a lot before the season began, and maybe a little bit too much. Maybe they were overconfident going into the season, because what was it based on? It was based on a six-game playoff loss to Toronto. So, you know, I'm sure a lot of people are looking around the NBA going, what is it that you guys think that you have right now? And they brought the entire team back. So they really didn't make any changes. They just kind of went on the fact that they thought they had success. They thought they were going to get to the next level, and you have to be confident. But I think that thinking during the offseason and then going into the regular season, you know, I think it caught up to them at times, because you have to have, you know, for 6 months, you have to have one mindset, and that is we have to win, and we have to find a way to win, and we have to do whatever it takes to win. And I think there were some people in the makeup there in uniform that had a difficult time doing that. And I would say that's probably my best estimation and evaluation, if you will, of where this team was from, you know, a year ago at this time going into last season and where they sit right now. So, you know, if it's me, if in Budenholzer, I told you he was a low-key guy, I'm going into next season telling these guys, we're just hoping to do our best. We got a new head coach. You know, whatever players are coming in here that are new to the team right now, we're just here to win. We're not going to tell you that we're going to be in any certain place at the end of the year. We just want to win.
I do want to flip over to Brewers baseball. And Brewers, as of right now, unless the wheels fall off and they get swept in Minneapolis, I mean, a pretty successful road trip thus far against teams over 500. Really, the only team that has been the nemesis that has a record that's over 500 has been the Chicago Cubs. Everybody else, they're 10-8 against. So talk about the way this team has performed specifically on the road, and they're not doing it with all their pieces firing on all cylinders right now.
Yeah, that, and that's the big thing right there. I think that's not only surprising me a little bit, but it's got to surprise everybody else in baseball right now is how are they doing it? But they're, you know, you have to start with who they've got in, not only on their current 25, but who they've got on their 40-man, who they've got on the minors, who's, you know, consistently being called to come up and down and, you know, pitch a day here and then go back to the minor leagues or whatever it is. But I think the bottom line right now with all the different players that have been in the mix and we're only just short of 2 months into the season now, this team and this organization has players who understand their roles. And I think that's the biggest thing right now. I think you can go all the way from Ryan Braun, they understand his role, to, you know, Brandon Woodruff, he understands his role. Brent Suter does. Brett Phillips does. And I'm talking about the guys that get shuffled around. Hernan Perez does. That's key when you don't have guys that are, you know, complaining, understand they're going to get time, understand that maybe they have to go to the minors or come back. And then, you know, as odd as this may seem, because a lot of people thought during the offseason they should have traded Santana when they acquired Kane and Yelich. That's actually that move right now, even though Santana's not quite where he was a year ago, that move's paying off because clearly, you know, with Ryan Braun's health, they need four starting outfielders. And that's going to be big for this team right now because if he goes on the DL, well, then you probably got a guy like Phillips coming in who, again, understands his role. So a lot of baseball teams don't have guys that understand roles, but in any sport, it's the only way to succeed. And, you know, and they've done that. And their pitching is, you know, bottom line is I think with their pitching, too, is no matter who's been called up, you know, guys have been doing a nice job, you know, with their first or second starts and helping this team win. So that's how you pick up victories, too. So I could go on and on about the pitching staff, as you know, we all could. But,
yeah.
You know, it's going to get there. I mean, clearly their frontline guys aren't healthy right now and have underperformed when they are.
Before I let you go, I do want to ask you just, and I know you guys have been down this road in memory lane and all that stuff, but it had to be hard losing Davey Nelson. You know, Davey, I mean, you've lost quite a few people close to you this year, unfortunately. Davey Nelson meant a lot to the organization, meant a lot to you guys, and to know his battle with cancer and how he really didn't kind of show that too much. He just always had a smile on his face. It had to be hard to lose Davey.
It still is. I mean, yesterday, you know, Joe asked me to be on your show yesterday, and I couldn't do it because we were over at Miller Park taping a show. We're doing a special on Davey. It's going to be a commercial 30-minute show that's going to air in early June. It's a tribute to his life because he meant so much to so many people. In baseball, in the organization, at his orphanage, and just the rest of us who were just his friends across the country. So Davey didn't have a real tight, immediate family, and his family were his baseball people and his friends, and very few people that I've experienced in my life can make an impact on everybody they meet, and he's definitely one guy who did, and we miss him. There's, you know, it's very unusual for me going to the ballpark and not having him there. And it's not a knock against anybody that I work with or anyone else in the organization. It's just it's a hole right now. And, you know, he went so fast, you know, based on when he was diagnosed and the hope that, you know, chemo would give him, it just didn't all work out. So, he was a gem, to say the least. He was one of my best friends, and he was close to my family. And you know, you take that stuff personally because it's just what it is. It's not business. I know everybody knows we work on the air together, but it's very personal. As you know, you've had many, many people for many years work very closely with you too. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's tough, that's for sure. But you know, I'm just glad he's not suffering, and he went peacefully, and you know, he's up there with a lot of Hall of Famers right now.
Yeah.
Still watching a lot of baseball. Think of all the baseball those guys are watching every night, right?
Yeah,
all at the same time.
Yeah, and his glory. Yeah, absolutely. Craig, it's always a pleasure, man. I thank you for coming on for a couple minutes, and we'll chat again soon, okay?
You got it. Have
all right,
a great
pal.
Day.
Talk to you soon. There you go. Craig Kishon from Fox Sports Wisconsin joining us for a couple of minutes, sharing some insights, some memories, and some thoughts, and we appreciate it. Joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 800-44-PRIDE. Go to schneiderjobs.com. More of the Bill Michaels Show coming up next.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Hey, I want to remind you, if you haven't gotten your tickets already, get them. Sell them pretty quick. This is going to be a fun time. It always is. We have such a good time telling stories and answering questions and the Q&A back and forth. But we're going to be in Madison. Going to be out there for our first cigar dinner of the season. And again, I've said this before, you don't have to smoke cigars to come on out. You don't have to be in a cigar connoisseur. Just come on out and enjoy the evening. We're going to be the Wisconsin Brewing Company, 1079 American Way. Madison, Verona, technically. But with your ticket, the ticket includes a couple of cocktails, the full dinner, which, by the way, is catered by Wood Barbecue. And if you are the cigar aficionado, you can come out and get four free Perdomo cigars. That's all included with the price of the ticket. I shouldn't say free, but you get what I'm saying. And there's a couple of places, three places out there in the Madison area to get the tickets. One is Tobacco Outlet Plus on North Sherman Avenue. That's in Madison. The other Tobacco Outlet Plus location on Willow Road in Wanakee. And then there's going to be a quick trip on County Road PB in Verona right there. And any one of those locations have tickets. Tickets are on sale right now, and they're going good. The sales are good. So if you want to get some friends together, it's always a fun time out. Everybody's looking for something to do on a Thursday night anyway. So come on out Thursday night, June 7th, Wisconsin Brewing Company, 1079 American Way in Verona. And we are really, really looking forward to this. It's always so much fun. It just is. We tell stories. We laugh. It's informative. It's behind the scenes. It's kind of like what goes on in Vegas stays in Vegas, and that's what kind of a night it is. It's a good time. And if you're a guy, a girl, significant other, doesn't matter. Everybody comes out and has a good time. We've been doing this now. This will be our seventh one. And the first one did not sell out. The rest of them did, and they're guaranteed to. So you better get off your duff, so to speak, and get some people together and just plan on it. Actually, it's 3 weeks from tonight. Is it 3 weeks or 2 weeks? 3 weeks from tonight, we'll be doing this, coming up here soon. So you have today's the 17th and the 24th, 31st, and then the week after. So yeah, 3 weeks from tonight. Get ready for it. Going to be a good time. I wanted to touch base on this, and I know with all the Budenholzer stuff and the Buck stuff, we've gotten into that discussion heavily. But when the Brewers went off on the road trip, and I had said at the time, when you started to look at the schedule, and you thought four against the Rockies, three against the Diamondbacks, you've got a three-game series with Minnesota. You come back home and you play the Diamondbacks at Miller Park. You have got, in the month of May, a tough schedule. And I had said at the time, I'd asked the question, do you believe that this is going to be that telltale sign for the Milwaukee Brewers? Or if you're a pessimist as far as the Brewers go, that this is where the wheels officially fall off? And it was funny because on that day when we asked that question, we had a few phone calls. And some people that said they're optimistic and hopeful and such. But it when you ask something like that and you don't get a lot of response, it's usually because people are going, I don't know. I'm kind of nervous about this. Now that you've seen the Brewers get 3 out of 4 in Colorado, 2 out of 3 in Arizona. Now, they still have to go to Minnesota, and they still have to at least perform well. But if they should get a series win there, you talk about a wildly successful road trip. Wildly successful. That would be 7-3 on the road trip. 7-3 on the road trip. And you would end up being 5-2 versus teams that have records 500 or better. I mean, did this road trip, so far anyway, did this throw you into the category of, I wasn't sure before, but I'm a believer now? And the only team that has a record over 500 that's been able to consistently beat the Brewers has been the Cubs. And yeah, the Cubs are in the division. The Cubs, by the way, versus teams over 500 have not been nearly as successful. So does this give you even more confidence moving forward when you talk about the Brewers' ability to kind of hang right there in the division. Again, we're not even to the end of May. It's tough to count those chickens. But this has been somewhat surprising to me. I'm not going to say I went into this whole thing as a pessimist. I was thinking maybe split in Colorado, get a win in Arizona, get two wins in Minneapolis, and come home and call it a success. So you'd end up with six wins on the road trip. But you get two wins in Minneapolis now, man. This has been wild. This has been more successful than I ever dreamed of, to be honest with you. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Now, when you look at this team, overall batting average for this team and OPS and such, they're sitting at 18th right now in all of Major League Baseball. But the biggest aspect as far as wins and losses go, when you look at the totality of their pitching staff, they're seventh best in baseball. They've got a collective whip of 1.22. Now, the Houston Astros are out of their damn minds. They have got the best ERA in baseball, the best whip in baseball. I mean, what they're doing down there right now, I mean, they're just 28-17 on the season. You know, they've had 14 save opportunities, five blown saves, by the way, coming out of Houston. Whereas the Brewers? The Brewers have eight blown saves. 21 save opportunities, 13 converted. 13. Cubs have 16 save opportunities, 11 converted. St. Louis, 17 save opportunities, 11 converted. But when you look at the teams right now that are stacked near the best in baseball when it comes to team ERA and team whip, well, that would explain why you have St. Louis at number 5, Chicago at number 6, the Brewers at number 7. Those teams, Pittsburgh, by the way, who's been hanging around, they're 13th best in baseball. But when you talk about teams that are winning, the Brewers are hanging right there with them. Right there with them. Does this kind of change your mind as to what you thought of Brewers baseball? Real quick, let's go to Fred listening to us in Green Bay. Fred, how you doing today? What's going on, man?
Hi, Bill. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure, no problem.
I was hoping for a 5-5 road trip, and I'm really happy with the way the team is playing. My only complaint is I wish he would play, you know, the same eight guys as much as possible.
A lot of people are saying that, and that wasn't that, you know, and I get it. It just wasn't in the plans. If you listen to David Stearns at the beginning of the season, it's just they were going to figure out a way to get so many at-bats and so many outs out of everybody and let everybody contribute.
Yeah, and it's working out pretty well so far. But I wanted to mention something. Bill, 2 days ago, you closed your program with talking about passing out participation awards.
Yes.
You know, rather than achievement awards.
Yep.
And I don't know if you're familiar with a baseball coach named John Scovinos from California. He's won 1,100 games.
Yeah, I noticed the name. I'm not overly familiar.
Well, if you get time, I'll log on to email, 17 inches. And he was the keynote speaker at a convention in Nashville 20 years ago for 4,000 baseball coaches. And he was magnificent. He came out on stage with a full-sized home plate tied around his neck. And he talked about widening the plate. And it really covered what you were saying 2 days ago, Bill, that let's pay something or let's give something for achievement rather than participation.
Okay. Well, as long as I'm listed in the same breath, Fred, thanks for the phone call. As long as I'm listed in the same breath as greatness, I'll take it any way I can get it. Put it that way. 855-830-8648. By the way, the stats are brought to you by our stat of the day, AppRoyo, implementing SAP and big data solutions to companies just like yours on the web. All you got to do is check them out. Go to APPROYO.com. They can help your company take all that analytical data, put it through the sieve, find out what you need to know to make your business bigger, better, stronger. That's what they do. That is AppRoyo, APPROYO.com. That's APPROYO.com. It's coming up next. Buy or sell right after this.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. In the world of sports, a lot of people say a lot of things. But does it pass the big unit test? Let's play Buy or Sell. Brought to you by Bryant & Stratton College Athletics, offering athletic scholarships in 9 junior college sports. Learn more at bscbobcats.com. This is the Bill Michaels Show.
Michael Show is on the air. It is time for Buy or Sell Radio. Joe, what do we got today?
Well, we'll start with the NBA playoffs. We haven't talked much about that, but the series is even between the Warriors and Rockets. Buy or sell, don't be surprised if Golden State and Houston goes seven games.
I wouldn't be surprised. And the reason being is because Houston can shoot the lights out. They just can. And as much as I want to say Golden State's going to end up in the finals and they're going to end up, you know, just... I still think Golden State can run away with it if they decided to. And if they... I just think that Houston, when they're on, they can shoot from anywhere. So, I think that... No, I think it's still going to be... It's hard for me to pick the Eastern side of things, but I still think the Warriors are going to be there. But they got drilled last night, 127-105. And Kevin Durant even threw up 38, but man, oh, man. I mean, when you get scoring, like P.J. Tucker last night, what did he drain? Like 20, 24, 26 or something like that, 22 points, something like that. When you got Tucker coming in and pouring in points and Harden giving you 27, and Chris Paul giving you, what was he, like 16, 18 points last night, and Ariza giving you points. And I mean, they can get from anywhere. So I think it's still going to be a good series, but it would not surprise me if this thing ends up going seven. But I'm still going to take Golden State hands down.
By the way, I just, little side note, this is just ridiculous when I heard it. So last night they played. They don't play again until Sunday.
It's stupid.
Are you kidding
me? It's stupid. You know why?
Thursday, Friday, yeah. Saturday, Sunday. Really?
Because you don't have the Celtics and Cavaliers don't play till Saturday.
That is ridiculous.
It's just stupid. This is the reason it goes into June and everybody just goes, what the hell? Who cares? Just stupid.
I hate that.
Buy or sell.
All right, one more. Cavs and Celtics. Buy or sell, Bill. If the Cavs get knocked out by Boston, it's unfair to put it on LeBron James.
Very unfair, because they changed the entire team. However, what people will say is, well, LeBron had his way, threw away Kyrie Irving, who wanted to go be a big fish in a bigger pond, because Cleveland's not as big a pond as Boston. But he had good players in his midst, and they couldn't coexist. And if it's all LeBron, and he's the guy calling a lot of shots, wanting specific players for specific things, then he should have figured out a way to make Kyrie Irving and company happy. Not to say that Kyrie Irving would be healthy right now, but nevertheless, it's fair to put it on him because he wanted certain players, and he got what he wanted, and they still couldn't get it done. So it's fair in that sense. But to say as far as LeBron James not playing his heart out, no. I mean, LeBron James is doing everything he can to will that team to get to this point. But I just have a feeling they're going to come back and they're going to get a win in Game 3 as they're back on their home floor now in Cleveland. And I think they do eventually get a win. This bears another question, because let's just say the Celtics get a win and they finally close things out. And say they win 4-1 or 4-2 in this series. What does that say about the Bucks? Because the Bucks took Boston to 7 games. Are the Bucks further along than we thought they were? Because the Bucks didn't look good in a couple of those games, specifically in Boston.
Well, remember what I've said about this team all season long. This team is more than capable of winning a first-round playoff series. What the talent that's on paper, they can get this done. It's not like they're bad.
No, it's not like it's a terrible team. It's just it's a team. It's a good team that plays terrible at times. But let's just say that happens, and Boston ends up knocking Cleveland out of this thing early on without it going 7 games.
This team should have been – the Bucks should have been in the top four to begin with this season.
Yeah, that's what
I'm
saying.
They were good enough to be there.
So then do we just say it could just be the coaching and Budenholzer comes in and gets 50 wins and gets them out of first or second round of the postseason?
You know what? It might be.
Could it happen?
Yeah, I think it's very possible. But the issue is, if you want to get to the NBA Finals, if you want to win a championship – you're going to need one more star, at least one more star to get this done.
Or a full season of a Jabari Parker. Can he become that star that you've been looking for?
We'll see.
There you have it.
Yeah.
Buy or sell.
But honestly, the Celtics do not have in this bag. I think it's going to go 7 games that series. I really do. All right, over to the Packers. Again, a guy we do not talk enough about. It's like he doesn't even exist on the team. Ty Montgomery. Mm-hmm. Buy or sell, if Ty Montgomery is supposed to be a running back, well, that means he's the Packers' number one running back. Do you buy that?
You know what? Excuse me. I don't think they have a number one. I think there's number one on depth chart only. I really don't. I don't think they have a number one. I think we saw Jamal Williams become a bruiser. Aaron Jones runs like a scat back. Ty Montgomery gives you a little bit of both. But the legitimate threats at running back are Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones. Ty Montgomery is a maintenance guy. Ty Montgomery is a threat coming out of the backfield because he can catch the ball and he was a wide receiver. I mean, I think there's just different nuances to each guy, but I can't look at any one of these guys and go, oh, that's the number one. If you had to put your finger on it and just because, I'd almost say Jamal Williams is your number one. But because Aaron Jones gives you a better breakaway threat with better speed, you could say it was Aaron Jones. But via knowledge, blocking ability and such, well, then it becomes Ty Montgomery. But I think right now the best problem to have is to have three quality guys that are behind Aaron Rodgers, two of which are legit running backs. So I don't think they have a number one, but for depth chart name only. Just my opinion.
Buy or sell?
Earlier in the show, we had Aaron Nagler on from PackersNews.com, and he made the comment that Tremont Williams is a very underrated signing for the Packers. Buy or sell, Bill, Kevin King and Tremont would be the starting corners if the season started today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Kevin King has all the talent in the world. We've seen that. And I would very much say that Tremont Williams is going to be the guy with knowledge that's back there. Now, Tremont Williams was brought in to school Kevin King, to school Jackson, to school Alexander, to be able to work with those guys in the secondary and teach them how to study, how to go about their business, whether it's even, you know, Josh Jackson, Quentin Rollins you can't forget about, Demetri Goodson you can't forget about. He's a guy that was brought in to help those guys develop back there. Josh Jones, so he's the guy that's brought in to help those guys develop. The one area I will say is a little bit of concern. You have Josh Jones and HaHa Clinton-Dix at safety. After that, you are thin, man. Jermaine Whitehead, Kentrell Bryce, Raven Green, Marwin Evans. Those are your backups at safety. Now, you have a lot of decent depth at the corner position right now, which I never... We've said this time and again. How many times we went into a season going, well, you're really deep at this. The year they were really deep at wide receiver, Jordy goes down. Cobb gets hurt. Bad shoulder, just as they get ready for the regular season. Then they go down with Ty Montgomery with an ankle injury. Devontae Adams ended up getting an ankle injury. You're down to Everdaris and Jeff Janis at that point. So, and then the year after, Sam Shields is going to lead that group. Sam Shields goes down with a concussion. Never the same after that. Out of football the year after that. And they really kind of spiraled out of control. Randall and Rollins played extremely well for the rookie year, but after that it went downhill when you thought you had depth there too. So I never say you have too much depth, but I'm a little nervous about the depth at the safety position right now.
Buy or sell?
All right, last thing for you, the Brewers, of course, 5-2 so far on this road trip. Twins, that's coming up on Friday night. But buy or sell, Bill, this impressive start by the Brewers has been a product of the starting pitching and not the offense.
Absolutely. Pitching's been fantastic. Now, they needed it. You finally got some breathing room where you could just throw some guys out there. You needed this. But I agree, the pitching, as I had mentioned, you know, offensively, total offense for this team right now, they are sitting at 18th in the league when it comes to total batting average, OPS, all that kind of stuff. But their pitching, top seven. Seventh in the league. And that's what's getting it done right now. So as much as we talk about the need for a starting pitcher, that the Brewers had to find somebody, the pitching's been fine. It's been the offense. It's been sporadic. And you just got to wait and see if Travis Shaw starts to heat up, Santana starts to get better, VR stays where he's at. You get Eric Thames back, who bolsters that lineup. And then you look at Kane and Yelich and company, and hopefully Arcia gets off the schneid. You get Arcia and Pena hitting the baseball, holy mackerel, this team's going to fly. So... But I agree, it's been the pitching that has gotten it done more so than anything.
The strangest thing, and I don't get it, because Domingo Santana, he's getting a lot of at-bats. He has 132 at-bats on the season so far. the man only has 2 home runs. I mean, he finally hit one yesterday, and I'm like, where has this been?
Yeah.
Domingo Santana hits more home runs than this. I don't understand why the guy only has 2 so far.
But you know
to start
what?
The year.
As long as he's hitting the ball and driving in runs or getting on base and scoring runs, that's all that matters.
Yeah, but
it's more. Tell me this. I mean, they're hitting home runs. They hit 4 of them yesterday. But this has been more of a small ball team right now to this point than it has been an all or nothing with the long ball.
Look, when I see a 674 OPS out of Domingo Santana, that needs to be a little higher. That's
oh, sure, you'd like it higher, absolutely.
That should be higher. I 2 home runs, 11 RBIs. That's it.
Yeah.
And he's got only 5 doubles on the year, no triples.
But the Brewers aren't even in the top 10 in home runs, and they play in bandboxes. They're 11th right now. They have 51 home runs on the season.
And that's why I think it's a little head-scratching, even for Christian Yelich. I mean, everyone's coming in saying Christian Yelich, his home runs are going to increase because he's going to be hit at Miller Park. And how many home runs does Christian Yelich have so far for the year? Like 3?
3 or 4, yeah. His numbers are going to go up, though. Once the weather gets more 4. Consistently warm... Yeah, he's got 4 home runs. Once the weather gets consistently warm, that number will go up. It just will. But he's hitting .294 with an .810 OPS.
Yeah,
I'm thrilled with that.
That's fine. But with Santana, I don't know. He needs to give me a little bit more.
Yep.
A little bit more.
There you have it. That is buy or sell. Always fun. Always good. A lot more coming up right after this.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Michael's show, we continue. Coming up in the next hour, Bob Nightingale from USA Today. Bob's going to join us coming up just after the top of the hour. Also, in case you missed it, going to talk some Packers football. Aaron Nagler from PackersNews.com, Green Bay Press Gazette, going to be joining us here as well. We're going to chat with him, get his lowdown on what the Green Bay Packers have done so far this offseason. Possible DL stint coming up for Ryan Braun doesn't bode well. We'll wait and see, but he's had that stiffness, and whether or not he can shake it after tomorrow, we'll wait and see. But otherwise, they'll probably go to a retroactive DL stint for Ryan Braun.
Makes you wonder who they're going to call up, because Brett Phillips will be the first choice, but I think he has to wait 10 days until he can be called back up again. And I don't know if he's past that or not. I guess it just depends when they decide to put Braun on the DL.
Right.
The one guy who has not been up here yet, and I just find it funny, is Keon Broxton.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think Keon has had quite a bit of time up here and hasn't performed very well. He goes on those tears where he's really, really good, and then he goes cold. He's the Michael Redd of baseball.
Well, and I'm not trying to get in his corner and say they need to call up Keon Broxton, but I just find it funny. During spring training, the only one that had a bad attitude about what was of all the changes that were going on in that clubhouse was Keon Broxton. Mm-hmm. Keon had a bad attitude about it, and he made it known to the media. It was out there. Did Brett Phillips do that? No. So Keon Broxton has been since in AAA. He has not been called up here once this season.
He got buried.
2 years ago, Tyler Cravey. It was the same thing. Cravey goes out, has a good spring training, doesn't make the team. He makes it perfectly clear to the media that he was upset. And guess what? You never saw Tyler Cravey again. I just wonder, will we see Keon Broxton at some point this year? Maybe we will this time around. Don't know. But I just find it funny. No Keon.
Mm-hmm.
No Keon. We've seen Brett Phillips come up now, what, twice? Could be his third stint coming up here. And he knows. Brett
right.
Phillips understands the reality of it. He knows he's going to be coming up and down all season long. But are they ever going to go to Keon Broxton again? And look, Keon, the man's had multiple opportunities here over the last couple of years to really prove himself. But the man's on a roller coaster
right.
ride. The only time Keon Broxton plays well is when he's got other competition breathing down his neck. Otherwise, he doesn't have any competition. It's Mr. Strikeout Machine, and that guy still strikes out a lot. I think he's been striking out a lot down in AAA.
Right. Yeah, he has. You know, they just buried the guy. You know, you're not going to put it this way. If you make it known in the clubhouse to a manager and say you don't like it, I want to, you know, then they look at you as this hard-nosed player that has this desire to be the best. You do it to the media, you're a malcontent. And we own you. Don't forget that. That could be the message right now. And they wouldn't be wrong in doing it. Got a lot to come. Bob Nightingale of USA Today. He is going to join us next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.